Hello, my name is Mahendra Gupte. We are going to look at GST and supply chain management. What is GST? GST, goods and service tax, is an indirect tax replacing multiple taxes like excise duty, VAT and service tax in India. Enacted on 29th March 2017, it came into effect on 1st July 2017. GST is a comprehensive multi-stage destination-based tax on the supply of goods and services, applying to value addition and unifying indirect taxes nationwide. The GST, as we all know, was enacted on 29th March 2017 and came into effect immediately on 1st July 2017. A comprehensive tax which is destination based and applies to the value addition that happens in a product or service. Multi-stage, under GST, tax is levied at every sale point in intrastate sales, central GST and state GST, SGST apply, while interstate sales incur integrated GST. GST stages in the supply chain, purchase of raw materials, production or manufacture, warehousing of finished goods and sale to wholesalers, sale to retailers, sale to end consumers. The goods and service tax is levied on each of these stages, making it a multi-stage tax. Let's understand what is meant by a multi-stage stage tax. Under GST, tax is levied at every sale point. In intrastate sales, it is central GST, that means the sale between two different states, it is the central GST, and state GST apply, while other interstate sales incur integrated GST. GST stages in the supply chain. Purchase of raw materials, there is a GST applicable. Production or manufacture, there is GST applicable. Warehousing of finished goods, there is GST applicable. Sale to wholesalers, there is GST applicable. Sale to retailers, GST is applicable. And sale to an end consumer, GST is applicable. The goods and services tax is levied on each of these stages, making it a multi-stage tax. Value addition in GST. A biscuit manufacturer buys inputs like flour and sugar, which gain value when processed into biscuits. The manufacturer sells the biscuits to a warehousing agent who adds value by packing and labeling them. The warehousing agent sells them to a retailer who further adds value by repackaging and marketing. GST is applied at each stage of value addition, from raw materials to the final sale to the end customer. Let's understand value addition in GST with an example. Take for example a biscuit manufacturer who buys inputs like flour and sugar, which gain value when processed into biscuits. The manufacturer sells the biscuits to a warehousing agent who adds value by packing and labeling them. The warehousing agent sells them to a retailer who further adds value by repackaging and marketing. GST is applied at each stage of value addition. That means it is at the processing of the flour and sugar into biscuits, the warehousing agent who adds value by packing and labeling, and the retailer who adds value by repackaging and marketing. Destination based. Consider goods manufactured in Maharashtra and sold to the final consumer in Karnataka. Since the goods and services tax is levied at the point of consumption, the entire tax revenue will go to Karnataka and not Maharashtra. So where is the destination based tax? What is meant by destination based tax? Consider that this again with an example. Consider goods manufactured in Maharashtra and sold to the final consumer in Karnataka. Since the goods and services tax is levied at the point of consumption, the entire tax revenue will go to Karnataka and not to Maharashtra. Who is liable to pay GST? GST applies to entities providing goods or services, firms with revenue above 40 lakhs rupees goods or 20 lakh rupees services must pay GST. The limit is 10 lakhs for special and northeastern states. Producers, marketers and distributors must register for GST. E-commerce platforms are subject to GST. Under reverse charge, the buyer pays GST instead of the seller. Let's understand who is liable to pay GST. GST applies to entities providing goods or services. So any company or any entity that is selling goods or selling services is liable for GST. Firms with revenue of above 40 lakhs for goods or 20 lakhs for services must pay GST. The limit is 10 lakhs for special and northeastern states. Producers, marketers and distributors must register for GST. So let's understand whoever is producing, who is marketing, that means adding value, and distribution, actually moving the material to the final customer, all the three of entities will register for GST because GST is applicable to them also. E-commerce platforms are subject to GST. Under reverse charge, the buyer pays GST instead of the seller. Goods exempted from GST, essential items, fresh fruits, vegetables, cereals, meat, fish, egg, milk and eggs. Services, healthcare and education, and other exemptions, certain government services, books, agricultural products. So these are the exemptions or the exempted items or services from GST. Objectives of GST. GST simplifies taxation by replacing multiple levies with a single unified tax structure for businesses and consumers. GST replaces multiple indirect taxes, aligning with the One Nation, One Tax ideology. States follow uniform rates for products and services, simplifying tax administration. Centralized policies enable common laws like e-way bills and e-invoicing. Tax compliance improves with a unified system and the elimination of multiple return forms. So what was the objective of GST when it was first originated? GST simplifies taxation by replacing multiple levies with a single unified tax structure for businesses and consumers. GST replaces multiple indirect taxes, aligning with the One Nation, One Tax ideology. States follow uniform rates for products and services, simplifying tax administration. So what we are saying is all states across the country, taxation rates for a particular product, category or a service is fixed, which simplifies the tax administration. Centralized policies enable common laws like e-way bills and e-invoicing, which means that the tax payment has got e-way bills or e-invoicing, which can be used directly in a centralized form. Tax compliance improves with a unified system and the elimination of multiple return forms. With earlier multiple taxes and multiple ways of paying them, there were different forms that were required to be filed for paying off those taxes actually to the government or to getting returns. Now, with only one tax, tax compliance is very much improved with a unified system and the elimination of multiple return forms. Subsume multiple taxes. GST replaced various indirect taxes like service tax, VAT and excise, reducing compliance burden and simplifying tax administration. Eliminate cascading effect. GST removes the tax on tax issue, allowing taxpayers to set off tax credits across different stages. Example, excise and VAT. So what another objective of GST was? It has replaced multiple taxes. GST replaced various indirect taxes like service tax, VAT and excise, reducing the compliance burden and simplifying tax administration. It has also removed the cascading effect. GST removes the tax on tax issue, allowing taxpayers to set off tax credits across different stages. GST eliminates the cascading effect by taxing only the net value added at each supply chain stage, ensuring a seamless flow of input tax credits for goods and services. To curb tax evasion, GST laws are stricter than previous indirect tax laws, allowing input tax credits only on supplier uploaded invoices, reducing fake claims. E-invoicing and centralized surveillance enhance efficiency, curbing tax evasion and minimizing tax fraud effectively. Let us understand this in a little detail. GST eliminates the cascading effect by taxing only the net value added at each supply chain stage, ensuring a seamless flow of input taxes, tax credits for goods and services. So what we are saying is that while every stage in the supply chain is taxed, the tax is only levied to the net value which is added at each stage and not the entire value of the product right from the beginning. So this is a distinct difference in the tax that is paid, or there is a distinction in the tax that is actually paid at each of these stages, which ensures a seamless flow of input tax credits for goods and services. Now, to curb tax invasions, which was widespread in the earlier regime, tax laws are stricter than previous indirect tax laws, allowing input tax credits only on supplier uploaded invoices, reducing fake claims, which means as a buyer, if you have purchased an item and paid GST, unless your supplier uploads his invoice of having charged you the GST, you cannot claim a tax credit for the GST that you have paid that on that invoice. So this now links the supplier and the buyer, and both need to comply so that both benefit by taking the input tax credit. E-invoicing and centralized surveillance enhance efficiency, curbing tax evasion and minimizing tax fraud effectively. To increase the taxpayer base, GST has expanded India's tax base by consolidating taxes on goods and services, increasing tax registered businesses. Stricter input tax credit laws have also brought unorganized sectors like construction into the tax net. Online procedures for ease of doing business. GST has streamlined compliance by making all processes online, from registration to returns, refunds and e-way bills, easing business operations and reducing tax authority complexities. To increase the taxpayer base, what has GST done or how has it helped? GST has expanded India's tax base by consolidating taxes on goods and services, increasing tax registered businesses. Stricter input tax credit laws have also brought unorganized sectors like construction into the tax net. How can construction get into the tax net? If you are going to buy steel as a construction company, if you are going to buy steel, cement and other materials for the construction, you are going to be charged GST by the seller. And as the volume goes up, you are going to be paying a heavy amount of tax as GST. Now, if you want to claim that GST as a tax return or credit for that tax paid, then you need to register yourself under the tax GST registration. So the construction industry, which was out of the taxes earlier, is now also included in the tax net. Online procedures for ease of doing business. The government realized that if they wanted a one nation, one tax regime, then they would also have to have systems in place, and systems which were stable and centralized. So GST has streamlined compliance by making all processes online, from registration under GST to returns, refunds and e-way bills, easing business operations and reducing tax authority complexity. Which means that today even small businesses, once they are registered under the GST. They can use the facilities of making e-way bills and ease out their business operations instead of hiring other software companies to make invoices and then try and link them to the GST portals. The government plans to introduce a centralized portal for all indirect tax compliance, including e-invoicing, e-way bills and GST return filing. An improved logistics and distribution system. GST improves logistics by reducing documentation, minimizing transportation times and streamlining supply chains. The e-way bill system removes interstate checkpoints, boosting transit efficiency and cutting logistics and warehousing costs. What has the government done? The government plans to introduce a centralized portal for all indirect tax compliance, including e-invoicing, e-way bills, and GST return filing. An improved logistics and distribution system. How has GST helped improve logistics and distribution? GST improves logistics by reducing documentation, minimizing transportation times, and streamlining supply chains. In the earlier times, when you had VAT, octroi, and excise duty being paid, you had to have three different challans, three different documents, which kept adding to the invoice and the packing list for a sale that was made. Now you have only a GST invoice, which is directly available through the e-invoicing process. And streamlining supply chains, transportation times, as well as streamlining supply chains. The e-way bill system removes interstate checkpoints because now the invoice can be seen on the central system by either point at the border, boosting transit efficiency and cutting logistics and warehousing costs. Let's understand the number of types of GST. CGST, imposed by the central government on interstate transactions. SGST, imposed by state governments on intrastate goods and services. IGST, applied to interstate trade between states or union territories. UTGST, imposed by union territories on goods and services within their regions like Andaman and Nicobar Islands. These have reduced tax burden and improved system efficiency. So what are the different types of GST? CGST, imposed by the central government, which is the central GST, on interstate transactions. The SGST, imposed by state governments on intrastate goods and services. So if there is a sale from one state to the other, part of it would the GST, if it is charged at 10%, 5% would be CGST, 5% would be SGST. IGST, applied to interstate trade between states or union territories. UTGST, imposed by union territories on goods and services within their regions. That means, for example, Delhi as a union territory with Daman and Diu, there would be a UTGST. They have reduced tax burden and improved system efficiency. What are the components of GST? There are three taxes applicable under this system: CGST, SGST, and IGST. GST structure: CGST, that is central tax for intrastate sales, example transaction within Maharashtra. SGST, state tax for intrastate sales, example transaction within Maharashtra. IGST, state tax for interstate sales, example Maharashtra to Tamil Nadu. So transaction sale within the state, CGST plus SGST under the new regime. The old regime had VAT plus central excise plus service tax. Revenue will be equally shared between the center and the state because there is a CGST and a SGST. Sale to another state. New regime is IGST, that is an interstate GST. Old regime, central sales tax plus excise plus service tax. Now only one type of tax, central, in case of interstate resales. Center will share the IGST revenue based on destination of goods. Multiple indirect taxes replaced by GST in India are central taxes replaced by GST, additional excise duties, central excise duty, excise under medicinal and toiletries, preparation act, excise on textile and textile products, additional customs duty, CVD and SAD, service tax, surcharges and cesses, central sales tax. So, what are the multiple indirect taxes that have been replaced by GST in India? Or these are the central taxes which were replaced, the additional excise duties, central excise duties, excise under medicinal and toiletries preparation, excise on textiles, additional customs duties, service tax, surcharges and cesses, and central sales tax. What are the state level taxes replaced by GST? State VAT, value added tax, sales tax, central sales tax, purchase tax, entertainment tax other than those levied by local bodies, luxury tax, entry tax, all forms, taxes on lottery, betting and gambling, surcharges and cesses, taxes on advertisements. So, what are the other state level taxes which have been replaced by GST? The state VAT or the sales tax, the central sales tax, the purchase tax, the entertainment tax, the luxury tax, the entry tax, taxes on lottery, betting and gambling, surcharges and cesses, and taxes on advertisements. Taxes not covered by GST, property tax and stamp duty, electricity duty, excise duty on alcohol, customs, basic customs duty, petroleum, crude, diesel, petrol, ATF and natural gas. So, there are certain products which certain areas or certain products which are not covered by GST, and they are the property tax and stamp duty, the electricity duty, the excise duty on alcohol, basic custom duty, and the petroleum, crude, diesel, petrol, ATF and natural gas. GST offers several key benefits. It simplifies tax structure, reduces compliance burden, eliminates cascading tax effect, creates uniform tax structure, increases government revenue. By removing the tax on tax effect, GST lowers the cost of goods. It's a technology-driven system with online registration, filing refunds and notices, speeding up processes. GST offers several benefits. Some of the key benefits are simplifies the tax structure. So now you have only a CGST and a SGST that you need to look at, or just one area of tax that is to be paid. Reduces compliance burden, eliminates cascading tax effect. That means there is no tax over tax and tax over tax again. Creates uniform tax structure. The same percentage of tax applies in all states, all union territories across the country. Increases government revenue. Since every item that is sold, every item or every service that is sold is taxed under GST, areas or businesses which were earlier not under GST, under taxation, are now also included, which has increased government revenue. By removing the tax on tax effect, GST lowers the cost of goods. It is a technology driven system with online registration. That means you don't need to actually write papers and maintain registers at your end. It is all online, and you get the online, you can get an e-invoice printed from the system. Eliminating another advantage to the small businesses, they can eliminate their own software to generate invoices, because every invoice that they make would be tax related and there would be a GST applicable. Filing refunds and notices, speeding up the process. By removing the tax on tax effect, GST lowers the cost of goods. Higher registration threshold, composition scheme for small businesses, simplified online compliance, less compliance burden, defined e-commerce treatment, regulation of organized, unorganized sectors, and increased efficiency. So these are other additional benefits from the GST, that is higher registration threshold. That means although the amount is increased for registration to 40 lakhs for products and 20 lakhs for services, the higher registration threshold also has included many more businesses into the fold. Composition scheme for small businesses. There is a simplified online compliance, less compliance burden, defined e-commerce treatment. That means if you are getting into an e-commerce platform or you are going to use e-commerce for your business, there is a defined e-commerce treatment that you need to adhere to. Regulation of unorganized sectors and increased efficiency. GST has helped in price reduction. Pre-GST, tax was paid on tax, including by the final consumer. GST eliminates this, taxing only the value added at each stage. It unifies tax rates across the country, improving tax collection and fostering economic growth by removing state level tax barriers. So, contrary to everybody's understanding is the fact that GST has helped in price reduction. If I say this sentence, everybody is alarmed. What is he talking about? Well, pre-GST tax was paid on tax, including by the final consumer. However, GST eliminates this, taxing only the value added at each stage. It unifies tax rates across the country, improving tax collection and fostering economic growth by removing state-level tax barriers. Let's look at an example to justify this claim. Tax calculations in the earlier regime and in the GST regime. The manufacturer had a cost of 1000 rupees, tax rate at 10% was 100 rupees, so invoice total was 1100 rupees. Warehouse adds a label and repacks at the rate of 300 rupees. So 1100 has now increased to 1400. The tax rate is at 140, 10% on 1400, which amounts to a total of 1540. The retailer advertises and spends 500 rupees. So the amount of 1540 has now changed to 2040, including the 500 that the retailer spent. The tax rate of again 10%, that means 204 rupees on 2040, that means the total invoice is now 2244 rupees. The total tax is 444 rupees. The cost in actual fact is only 1800. Let's look at what happens in the GST regime. The tax rate of 10% on the 1000 cost, you pay a tax of 100, the tax liability to be deposited is 100, so the invoice value is 1100. The warehouse adds a label and repacks at 300 rupees, so you pay 130 as the tax because now it is 1000 plus 300. You are going to pay the tax liability is 30 rupees, so you are going to, the total invoice value is 1430. The retailer advertises at the rate of 500, so you are going to add a tax at 10% to be 1800, which is the tax liability to be only 50 of 10% on the 500 for the advertisement. The total invoice value is 1980. If you look at the tax collected at 10%, it is 410. The tax liability to be deposited is only 180. As a result, the total invoice value is 1980 against 2244 in the earlier regime. In the old regime, the tax liability was passed on at every stage of the transaction, and the final liability comes to a rest with the customer. The value of the item kept increasing every time. In the case of goods and services tax, there is a way to claim the credit for tax paid in acquiring input. The individual who has already paid a tax can claim credit for this tax when he submits his GST returns. Let us understand what was the difference between the old regime and the new GST regime. In the old regime, the tax liability was passed on at every stage of the transaction, and the final liability comes to rest with the customer. The value of the item kept increasing every time. In the case of goods and services tax, there is a way to claim the credit for tax paid in acquiring input. The individual who has already paid a tax can claim credit for this tax when he submits his GST returns, which means that in our example that we took, if the tax is paid by the wholesaler, he can submit a return claim for his claim. He can claim credit for the tax that he paid when he submits his GST returns. Input tax credit. Under GST, a registered taxpayer can claim ITC, that is input tax credit, on goods and services used for business purposes. However, there is a specified list of goods and services for which credit is not available. ITC is not available for personal use of goods and services, goods services used for exempt supplies, and motor vehicles except for transport businesses. So, which means that while there is an input tax credit available to every registered taxpayer under GST, it is only possible for business purposes. There is a specified list of goods and services for which credit is not available, especially those items or services which are used for personal use, or goods and services which are exempt from supplies, for exempt supplies, or motor vehicles except unless they are for the transport business. Input tax credit is restricted on motor vehicles related services, insurance, repairs, leasing, unless used for specific purposes like transportation or further supply of vehicles. Food, beverages, catering, beauty treatments and health services, unless used for taxable supplies. Club, health and fitness memberships. Rent a cab, life and health insurance, unless required by law for employees. So let's look at what are the other areas or other services which are exempt from ITC. ITC is restricted on motor vehicle related services, that means insurance, repairs, leasing, unless they are used for specific purposes like transportation or further supply of vehicles, which means a dealer or a transporter can claim input tax credit. Food, beverages, catering, beauty treatments and health services are also available under input tax, but they should be used for as supplies. That means catering supplies, beverages supplied to another company who is actually going to sell it to the customer. If you are the person in between, you can claim input tax credit. Club, health and fitness memberships, totally exempted, that means there is no return, no ITC possible. Rent a cab, life and health insurance. Life and health insurance, unless it is for employees, that means a company wants to insure their people, their employees, then they are exempt, they have a ITC possible. That means they can get input tax credit. But if it is for personal use, like you and me buying an insurance policy, we have got to pay the GST. Travel benefits to employees, vacation, leave, home travel concession, input tax credit is not available. Works contract services for construction of immovable property except when used for further supply of such services. So in a construction contract or a works contract services for construction of immovable property, tax is applicable and no input tax credit is accepted. Goods services used for construction of immovable property except plant and machinery. So if the immovable property is personal, for personal use, then you cannot apply for input tax credit. However, if it is a commercial establishment, you can accept where it is a plant or and machinery, you can apply for input tax credit. Goods lost, stolen, destroyed, written off or given as gifts of free samples. So another area which is not covered under input tax credit is goods which are lost, stolen, destroyed, written off or given as gifts of free samples. So if there is no transaction, in short, of a GST invoice for the goods further from your side, you are not able to claim any input tax credit. ITC is allowed for goods and services that employers are required by law to provide to employees. Under GST, taxpayers can use ITC to pay output tax, but CGST cannot offset SGST or UTGST and vice versa. IGST credit should first be used for IGST liability, and any remaining IGST credit can offset CGST or SGST, UTGST in any order. What are the other benefits under tax that is collected? Now we are talking of returns or the input tax credit. Input tax credit is allowed for goods and services that employers are required by law to provide to employees, which means that if an employer by law is required to provide catering service, that means have a canteen, he is exempted or he can file an input tax return for all the goods and services that are being used at the canteen. Under GST, taxpayers can use ITC to pay output tax. Now let's understand, a company or an employer can use input tax credit to pay output tax, but CGST, that is central GST, cannot offset state GST or union territory GST and vice versa, because whatever is collected by the central government will remain with the central government. It will not get passed on to the other governments or cannot be offset by the other government collections. IGST, integrated GST credit, should first be used for IGST liability. That means if you have an IGST credit, that means you have purchased something from a company which is located in one of the union territories or one of the integrated areas, then you must offset that by the sales that you do to that area again, which means your IGST liability can be offset first. And any remaining IGST credit can be offset by CGST, central GST or state GST or union territory GST in any order, which means it is only IGST credit which can be used for offsetting the CGST, SGST or the UTGST.